We're all in uncharted territory looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Your Monday is off to a good start. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2, Sirius XM Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here with you. As we just had a lot over the weekend. There's no other way to describe it. There was just a lot of unrest in a lot of places because of the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis. And it's just a large portion of America said enough. And the reaction was incendiary.
Yeah, it was, and it's something we all are talking about, and we will continue because it has crossed over into sports. We'll talk about the cross section there, but this is also real life. And as I said at the start of the show 3 hours ago, we're three white guys who host a sports show.
Yeah,
we certainly don't have answers to this, but we have ears and we can listen.
Correct.
And as we've heard over the weekend from those at protests, the peaceful protest parts giving talks about it, everybody can invoke change at the polls, whether it's, you know, from the local all the way to the national. If you feel that's a place to make change, that's where everybody can actually physically have a say-so in what's going on. Because at this point, we've talked about it too, Mike. If you're silent about it, I mean, what are you doing?
Yeah,
you can't be silent about this.
You've heard enough of that cry over the weekend that silence is complicit, that people are looking around and taking notice of who is not speaking up right now when it comes to this issue. And the one thing that we have seen is that question being asked enough, because it's sort of the hands go up and it's, well, what can I actually do to help? And we have looked to black people and a lot to direct on how to help in that. And there have been a lot of, right now, tangible solutions on places that you can put your time, money, and eyes as far as what to look for, what to read about in all of this, and ultimately how to position yourself going forward to not just sit by and say, I am not a racist, I am not bad in these ways, but you now point out and condemn these things going forward in the ways that are going to be necessary.
And we will continue these conversations for as long as they need to be continued, because it will be something that will be talked about and addressed for a long, long time. There are also things in sports that talk about away from that need to be addressed and talked about, and we will continue to do that as well. And we're delighted to be joined by our next guest to do that, and that's Bears head coach Matt Nagy. Matt, we appreciate you being with us this morning. Hope you and yours are safe and well. Just out of curiosity, as someone who has a responsibility to lead a group of men, many of them who are African American, how are you dealing with the news and what we saw play out over the weekend in this country?
Hey guys. Yeah. Thanks for having me on. It's, for sure, you know, a concern for us. And I think what the biggest thing, the way that I look at this is just like y'all were saying is as a leader, it's very important that you, let everybody know the support that they have. And that's what I've done. That's what we're doing. You know, our country's hurting right now and all of our prayers, my prayers go out to all the families affected. And, you know, I just think that what my message as a leader is to our players and to everybody else is that they're getting my 100% support, number one. And then number two is it's time to listen, right? And that's what I want to do is I want to listen. And if somebody has something to say, we need to listen and understand that. And then we do it together. That word together has always been used for us. And now it's magnified even more and needs to be put to use even more unified and together. And then just as I mentioned a little earlier this morning, a powerful word that I believe in that I don't think gets used enough, in the sports world. And you know, naturally in the football world, which is such physically tough men but the word love. Right now we need more love from everybody. And some people, you know, whatever their definition of love is, I know what mine is. And as a leader with our team right now, they're going to feel that even more. And that's very important. So listening and love goes a long way. And this is real. We got to be able to talk about it. And if you can't, then it's not right. And we need to. So that's where we're at.
Matt Nagy joining the Chicago Bears head coach. And then from the football, the sports side of this thing, this is a time where you'd be in front of players. You know, you'd have OTAs would have started the third week of April. You'd have had a mini camp by then, probably getting ready for another mini camp that would end the off season program. But this has all been virtual now. How has all of that been going over these last couple of months?
You know what? It's been going really well. Our players, we've had really great attendance. I mean, darn near 100%. It's different at first. Everybody's a little bit uncomfortable, but then they end up getting used to it. And now we're at a point where everyone is comfortable being in it. You can feel the antsiness to want to get back. Guys are ready to get on the football field, and really now they're trying to stay in shape as they can, whichever way they can. But mentally, this is going to be very important for not just the younger players, but for everybody to be able to stay mentally sharp with the time given so that you hit the ground running. And so that's what I think we're trying to do is keep these meetings creative. We're having guest speakers come in to break up the monotony of it. The players have been really, really good as far as interaction, asking questions. And again, for us too, as coaches, is we told our staff, you know, let's let these guys talk. Let's not be where we sit here and everyone just talk, you know, it's all coach talk the whole time. Let's let them get interactive. And that's what it's really been for us. So really proud of our players and really appreciate that.
Along those lines, at some point, everybody's going to have to get together if a season is going to start. And I know the virtual offseason by the league got pushed two more weeks, so probably till the end of this month. Any word for between your conversations with the league and certainly your leaders there in Illinois with the guidelines there on when you think at what point this month, if it can be, players could actually get back into the building?
You know what, Mike, there's not. And I mean, absolutely zero for me right now. I think that it's what we've done is we've created these schedules and contingency plans. Well, there's a ton of these backup plans that we have. But there's not. I think the focus right now is obviously on the health and safety of the players and how they're going to go about doing that and that themselves as well having backup plans. So we're just kind of taking it day by day, week by week, like everybody else. And the message that we're using is that there's in our world, there's 31 other teams going through this. And it's who are the teams that are going to handle it the best? And are you going to be glass half full or glass half empty? And that's just the way we're going to attack it. And so that whenever that is that we get together, we feel like we've done everything in our power to stay positive and hit the ground running.
Matt Nagy, Bears head coach, with us here on Golic and Wingo. And looking forward and trying to plan for the future is so difficult right now. A lot of every offseason is some of that self-scout and reflection on what happened the year prior. As you look back on the 2019 season, what are the things that you know we want to and we have to change in order to make 2020 look more like what you guys want?
Sure. Yeah, there's a lot. And you know, every year is so different. We were fortunate enough to come in my first year as a head coach and win the NFC North and go 12-4 and make it to the playoffs. And it was very new and rewarding to us. Now, with that comes a responsibility to maintain that. And like a lot of people say, you know, it's harder to stay on top than it is when you're at the bottom. And we ran into that last year. Now, we ended up fighting through a 4-game losing streak, that was where I was really, really proud of the way we hung together. That's a long time to lose 4 games in a row, but to fight through that. And we ended up giving ourselves a chance, winning 4 out of 6 and taking it to the end to have an opportunity to possibly make the playoffs. And it didn't happen, but there was a lot of things. You know, I know a lot of it, you know, goes on to, you know, certain specific areas at times and you know, speaking of the quarterback play, but there's so much more to it. And Mitch, you know, again, for him, he's every year is different. And we're using that mindset this year. You know, I could have been a lot better in so many different ways. And I talked to our team about details. I feel like the mindset that we have going into this year needs to be different. And we need to understand that just every single day, we need to challenge ourselves to practice harder, to play harder, to listen more, to take more notes, to coach better, all of that. And so when you stay positive, then hopefully that adds to some wins. And so, you know, everybody has taken upon themselves to worry about themselves specifically, and then the team will be better because of that.
Matt Nagy, Bears head coach, with us. And Matt, one of the things you're trying to do is change the way you approach what we believe will be the preseason, whenever that rolls around to it. Basically getting your players that you are counting on for the regular season in there more. What was the thought process about how you wanted to change that?
Yeah, so at the end of the year, just reflecting on the very first thing I did when the season ended is I just went back and say, well, if I could change something or if I could do something different, starting with myself, what would it be? Where did it start? And that's right away what my mind went to. And you know what it was, guys? It was the word toughness is what hit my brain right away. I didn't think, collectively, all of us, I'm not just saying players, I'm saying coaches too, everybody. I don't feel like we were as tough as we were in 2018. And so that doesn't always just mean physically, but mentally too. Well, when you don't play your guys in the preseason, and there was reasons behind that, but when you don't play them, then there's a little bit of a, you just don't, to me, you don't have that same mentality in training camp. Your guys aren't getting those reps in the preseason. And I just reflected on that. And I was upset that I did that. And again, that's where I start with that right there. So our guys have been told loud and clear that they're coming in to whenever this does start in training camp, this is going to be a physically demanding training camp and it's going to be mentally challenging. And people talk about it, but this is something that we're going to do. So as long as our players know that going into it and they're training hard right now and we're smart about it, then I think that's going to make us a lot better team in 2020 just from the start right there.
One other thing, players, all, and you know this, is communication. They like to know where they stand and where their situation is, and you certainly have that at the quarterback position with Nick Foles coming into the fold as well. So in your, and they have to be, again, virtual communications with these quarterbacks, what do they both know from you about the quarterback situation and potentially the starting quarterback position for Chicago?
They know everything that everybody else knows. And that's the best part of our situation that I feel like is they are literally getting to both get an amazing fair chance to win the starting quarterback job for the Chicago Bears. And so how do you do that? Well, right now you mentally prepare yourself as best as you can. You ask as many questions, you watch video, you train on your own and do as much staying in shape and throwing as you can. But then when we get into whenever the start is of the season, then it's our job as coaches, because of the lack of off season, we need to make sure, and that's what we're doing right now, that when we script these practices, that there is it's a fair competition with, again, what reps they're getting, how many they're getting. We have to create more reps in practice so that we can evaluate it. And so there's ways to do that, just to keep things the way that it's always been. This is a different year. The way it's going. So we're going to be creative with that. There's not going to be a day that goes by that they don't understand or hear pure honesty from us. And then when you do that, it makes it so much easier that when you make a decision, they know the why part. And then they just keep working. And that's where we're at.
What's the response been like from Mitch for that? Because as you mentioned, he was a guy that took, as quarterbacks always do, a lion's share of the blame when things go wrong, more praise when things go right. But over the course of last season, we know the arrow got pointed at him a lot, right or wrong. How has he dealt with these changes this offseason?
He's dealt with these changes as best as you possibly could. And that's where, again, until you're in his shoes and you understand what he's been through, it's hard to understand that. And so, but we're there. We talk about it. We understand that, just like you said, when you win, you get all the credit. When you lose, you get all the blame. Now, how do you balance that? And that's together for us. It's the same thing for all of us. We have each other's backs. Now, there's a responsibility to win. We all need to win. That's what this is about. And so instead of, we move on. We don't hang on to the past. So 2018, that's gone. 2019 in our world, that's gone. What are we going to do to change 2020? And if you start worrying about what happened in the previous years, every year is so different. So he's been really great with how he's handled it. I love his focus right now. We're not hands-on, but we are able to see the questions they ask. We can see where they're at in these meetings and how they go about with their teammates' interaction and with their coaches. And, if there's a scale of 1 to 10 on where he's at, he's certainly at that 10. And I appreciate that. So now Nick has also made that really, really good in regards to that room, because Nick is a really good person, and it's a healthy Zoom room right now. So when we get out onto the field, it'll be, you know, competitive, and the juices will be going. But I just know that, again, we have great coaches and good people, and that's usually how you try to make it work.
The Zoom room means
healthy guys. Zoom room.
That is like such a 2020 phrase. I mean, it's incredible. As Bears head coach Matt Nagy is with us. And if I know one thing about the quarterback situation for the Bears, Matt, I know this much. At some point, one of those quarterbacks will be throwing touchdowns to a tight end, because you've got 8 on your roster right now. You signed Jimmy Graham. You took your second round pick. You took Cole Kmet, the tight end out of Notre Dame. I think the Golics may have heard of him a little bit. And you have been a very creative play caller in the past. In 2018, you scored a touchdown without a wide receiver, a running back, or a tight end on the field. You had offensive and defensive linemen. The play was called Santa Slay. Do you have some sort of like 6 tight end position drawn up for to use all these guys? How's this going to work out?
I'll tell you what. No, you're right. I mean, that's obviously been an emphasis for us here going into the off season. And again, every year is different. You know, that was just a focus that we wanted to really attack. And we feel we did that. You know, again, a guy with Demetrius Harris, who I have a 5 years experience with in Kansas City. And so there's a different dynamic. I know a lot of emphasis gets put in our offense on the U tight end, which is, you know, the receiving tight end. But it's just as important to have that Y tight end too. So we just felt like for us, this is a great chance to get some other good players as well, and try to put, you know, be creative in certain ways and try to put it all together. Obviously, going after Cole Kmet and getting him, we're excited about the Notre Damer, and he's been unreal, really good. Now again, he has a lot of room to grow. That's the cool part with Cole, is that his ceiling is so high. But when you have a kid that just plays hard, he cares so much about the game, he cares so much about his teammates, you as a coach know that you're going to get 100% effort all the time, and you can help coach him to a better player. And so just a lot of credit to Coach Kelly and Notre Dame and what they've done with obviously all their tight ends, but with Cole specifically. And we're excited to see how this goes this year with our tight end room.
Yeah, it should be fun. And listen, Matt, before we let you go, I want to talk about a former quarterback you had, and that's Alex Smith. And we had the E60 documentary that Stefania Bell did with him on his remarkable return. And you obviously were with him in Kansas City. What do you make of what he's trying to do and how he's sort of gone about his attempt to come back and potentially play again?
No doubt, Trey. I think, you know, I was so lucky to spend 5 years with Alex Smith every day. I got to see who he was as a person. Alex Smith taught me so much on how to coach football and how to treat people. And the relationship, the respect that I have for him is really second to none. It didn't, you know, I sat down like everybody else and watched it. You know, Alex is, he's just so down to earth, yet so he's so loved by his teammates. Everyone loves him. He's not a real emotional guy. So what got me is when they showed him at the end there, when he started getting emotional, and that just, you know, that rips your heart out just for him, because you just love the guy and his family. And to see Elizabeth and how she was throughout the whole journey, and then at the end seeing him with his kids, that's who he is. This guy is a machine. Mentally, he's been through everything, literally from high school to going with he went through in college to the stories that he has in the NFL. And to mentally get through that, does it shock me where he's at right now? Heck no. The guy is a beast. And so I'm just rooting for him. He knows how much I love him, how much we love our families, love each other. And hopefully I coach for a long, long time, but it's going to be hard to come across too many guys like Alex Smith. And I'm just so proud to know him and say that we're good friends.
Yeah, we were all blown away by watching the things that he had.
It's incredible.
It was absolutely remarkable. Matt, we always appreciate the time. Personal note, I appreciated the play call sheet wallpaper in the draft room that you had. That was cool and unique. That was fun, putting those things to good use. Wish you all the best. Stay well, stay safe, okay?
I appreciate it, guys. You guys are awesome. Thanks for having me on. Stay healthy and stay safe as well. Take care.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
So many things going on with contracts and free agency still and such, but the tight end position made me think about it when you mentioned that. Do you see what's going on now with George Kittle?
Yeah.
I love the agent saying, I'm not trying to make him the highest paid tight end. I don't care about the tight end market. I'm being paid to get George Kittle a deal. It's going to be a tight end market.
I have bad news for you.
This is the old Jimmy Graham thing.
Who's now with the Bears, by the way.
I'm not a tight end. Yeah.
Listen, if past indicators help at all here, the money that Kyle Shanahan was comfortable paying Kyle Juszczyk, who plays essentially a fullback that kind
Correct.
Of does more tight end work, the money they're probably going to be willing to pay a tight end who essentially operates as the team's best receiver, probably going to be pretty
good. Well, the largest one right now just went to Mr. Austin Hooper, who went to the Cleveland Browns, 4 years and $42 million. I think Kittle will get more than that.
He will.
But I think he's going to be paid as the top tight end. I don't know if his money is going to reach receiver money where
it
we
won't.
Know
it won't.
That's $18-19 million dollars a year. Yeah. I don't think there's any shot it's getting there.
No harm in trying.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I respect the flex. Be prepared for bad news. That's basically
be
the
prepared
way.
For maybe 13, 14 or so million a year.
Woe is me. Listen, George Kittle, who's a friend of the show at this point, I just want to make it abundantly clear that's Dad and Trey's negativity. I think you're going to get paid all the money in the world.
Oh, I hope you get it.
George, we want all the things for you. We just want you to prepare for the reality of the situation.
I want you to prepare for the reality of maybe being the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. That's what I want you to prepare for,
George. You are such a suck up, it's embarrassing.
You were yelling at me when I was trying to apologize to Matt Rule. Give me a break.
Yeah, I mean, it was embarrassing.
The Gulligan Week was presented by Progressive Insurance. This is Shower Sessions, half interview, half concert, all from the shower. Watch new music videos and exclusive interviews now at youtube.com/progressive. Coming up early in the show, we spoke to Minneapolis native and former NBA champion Devin George, and you have to hear what he has to say about the unrest around this country and in his native city of Minneapolis. We will get to all of that.
GEICO has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Gulligan Wingo with you on a Monday morning, ESPN Radio, ESPN2, Sirius XM Channel 80, also on your smart speakers. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golick Jr., Trey Wingo here with you. Just dealing with what was an awful weekend across the country. There's no way about it, and sports was a big part of that. We saw so many athletes trying to lead peaceful protests after the killing of George Floyd by that Minneapolis police officer, and some of those things did not go peacefully, and some of that was just horrendous. You don't want to see any of that, but you have to understand the context for what happened, and so many people for so long felt like they had nowhere else to go.
Yeah, you look at a guy like Jaylen Brown again from the Celtics, drove 15 hours to Atlanta to help lead a peaceful protest. I mean, this is what players in sports were doing, trying to be leaders of their communities, whether where they're at or where they grew up, to try and show, like, let's do a protest. Let's have a peaceful protest. And we know certainly some protests got out of hands, whether it was the people protesting against the killing or against, you know, these other factions that come in and try and piggyback off of a horrible situation and make a name for themselves. We've seen that as well. So, but this has certainly crossed into the athletic world as well.
It's grabbed everyone's attention, right? Like, you cannot look away from this right now, and because everything else is stripped away, because we've been in the middle of a pandemic, and we have heard from so many people that you've really got nothing left to lose when it comes to making your voice heard on something you feel like has been silenced for far too long. That black people have been telling us, this has been happening, we have been targeted by the police in a way that white people are not dealing with. This has led to all of these killings that we've seen of unarmed black people. And now that we've seen this situation where there is 9 minutes of us watching someone with a knee on the back of their neck until they are dead to remove all of the things that you could try, all the whataboutism away from it, what are you going to do about it now that you've seen that, now that we won't let you look away?
That is absolutely correct. And so we had a conversation earlier today with Devin George, former NBA, time NBA champ, from Minneapolis. He currently has business there and also businesses in Sacramento. Now, he's not in Minneapolis right now because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. He can't get back and forth. But he said something really startling when we had him on with us. Basically, none of what happened surprised him. He basically said, you could see this coming.
It's a shock to some people. To me, it's not. From being a person that has worked in the community, has my nonprofits there, I do affordable housing. I'm constantly working with people in the community, and people that are in it can see it coming a mile away. The reason why is there are so many hopeless people that have no hope, no reason to look for tomorrow. All of us that live our lives, we have something to look forward to. Our kids are safe. Our kids are healthy. They're going to school. We have our kids game coming up on Saturday. They play basketball, they soccer, whatever it is. But you have so many people that just have nothing to look forward to tomorrow. And that's the dangerous thing, is the system was creating more and more people that had nothing to look forward to. And that's what you see when you see the looting, when you see the rioting, and you see all the stuff that's going on and the people there. They don't have anything. Those aren't people that have a possible promotion on their job coming up next week or next month, or a possible interview that they're going to be called in next week or whatever. Those are people that have nothing to lose. They've been sitting down, the game of life, there's no hope. There's no way for me of winning. It's pushed against me. And then I'm stuck in this area in a food desert, no place to eat, no place to go, no transportation, no health care, and this is what you get. And those are dangerous people to deal with, people that have nothing to look forward to tomorrow, and the system creates more and more of those people.
You know, a lot of people, you know, we've been getting tweets as well, are you going to condemn the damage that has gone on? Listen, I don't want that damage there. I don't like to see that. But you just heard what he said. You know, right. you know what I can't do? Is put myself in their position. None of us can.
None.
So while I don't like it, and there have been many athletes going out, like I mentioned, Jaylen Brown, trying to do peaceful protests, and many out there talking about peaceful protests, many trying to step in and stop any of the damage that's going on. But while I don't like it and don't want to see it, I can't sit there and from my 30,000 foot view perch and say, oh, you shouldn't do that. Okay, I don't like that it's happening. But, man, you just heard what Devin said. I mean, the hopelessness there and things happening time and time and time again. At some point, man, you just snap. You just break.
Yeah, you've got to separate the bad actors that have come in and are opportunistic yes. in this from people that are legitimately upset and may act out in that way because they've been pushed too hard for too long, which, again, is something that we can't understand. The problem with that criticism to me is I feel it's largely disingenuous. It's an easy out to try and make sure. A distraction because Colin Kaepernick and plenty of other NFL guys were peacefully protesting.
Yep.
But you deemed that a way that made you uncomfortable, and that was something that wasn't the right time or place for that. And you go all along in this, and it ends up becoming there's no right time or right place for some people to be brought out of their comfort zone, to be made uncomfortable by the subject matter here. And so while I empathize like hell with the people that are losing their businesses
yes,
and having to deal with
absolutely.
Those things, those are things that all of us look at, and everyone says to a person, yes, this is bad. We would like not to see this. This is sad, and we want to look for ways to avoid that. That is what black people are asking you to do with all of these unarmed people that are being killed. Be that outraged. Look at that and condemn it as openly as you condemn these other things. Not a throwaway and then focusing on all of these things. Remember the issue. Too many people trying to treat symptoms and not the root cause.
Well, maybe
there's too much of that.
Maybe a simple way to look at this, if you're that concerned about property, shouldn't you be that concerned about people? I mean, that seems to be a very fair thing to say. If you're that concerned about the devastation of property, are you concerned about the devastation that has been wrecked on a certain segment of our population for a long, long period of time? because you should be.
And again, and there are people, and it has been pointed out, there have been people who have lost their lives amidst these riots and all those things. Yeah. And that is sad. And it is a reminder to bring that same energy to the conversation that's at the middle of this.
Correct.
And not just when it is, and it's almost the wrong word, but I think Myron Metcalf brought this up with us earlier. It's easy to be outraged right now.
Yeah.
Because this situation is so glaring and obvious to everyone, and it's stripped away all the whataboutism that you're having a harder time if you're someone who would normally be someone coming at the other side of this to oppose or to dispute what's being told to you by black people. Because that's the frustration that it seemed like has poured from a lot of the rest of this is, we've been trying to tell you. I mean, we just heard Devin George say it. This isn't something that surprised anyone who's been looking at the situation.
No, it isn't in any way, shape, or form. And hopefully the surprise for all of us will be a shift to something that actually happens in the other way going forward. Golic and Wingo is presented by Progressive Insurance with more than 30 unique coverage options available. Progressive knows small business. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. So that's a much larger issue that we as a society and as a country are trying to figure out. Meanwhile, can Major League Baseball figure something out, and do they need to figure it out this week? We'll get to that.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
It is a 114-game proposal by the Major League Baseball Players Association. Season would start on June 30th.
It includes, among other things, deferred salaries in the event of a canceled postseason.
If there is no postseason this year, they are willing to defer $100 million in salary. One way to alleviate cash flow issues is to defer money to the future. Now, they want these monies paid with interest, so MLB is going to reject this proposal.
Golic and Wingo is brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings is the leader in one-day fantasy sports. Download the DraftKings app and use code Golic to get a free shot at the $1 million top prize with your first deposit. Minimum $5 deposits required. Deposit bonus requires a 25 times playthrough. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Golic and Wingo here with you, ESPN Radio, ESPN2, on a Monday morning after what was a really tough week across the country. So we're trying to move through that, deal with it, process it, and make sure we do the right things going forward. And we're also trying to get things back on track in the sporting world. We have a plan in the NHL. It appears we're very close to a plan in the NBA. Then there's Major League Baseball. And again, we need to understand there are two caveats that need to be part of this conversation. A, unlike the NHL and the NBA, baseball is trying to start, whereas the other two are just trying to get to the finish line. That's a big difference. And B, because they're at the end and not at the beginning, the money is not as big a factor in those two sports because they're sharing in Major League Baseball. Not. So, all that being said, basically, I don't know if we've had an exchange of ideas, more like a launch of a t-shirt cannon to the other side just to see if they catch it.
That's pretty good. Because, yeah, I don't think one... Well, one had to start, and that's baseball started, yeah. And then another after we players thought they had the agreement in March,
right?
And then they come out with one, and even they were talking about the players said this isn't as much a reaction to yours as this is our own. It's like they both gave their own starting points,
right?
And then now we go from there. So is it now back in the owner's hands of okay? Do we look at this as an olive branch? They're willing to negotiate the players, or are we still just doing separate things here?
Well, and I kind of look for now, because we've seen this as, all right, initial offers from everybody, however you want to do it in the negotiating sense. Where is the room for wiggle,
right,
and where are the spots that we think ultimately people might dig in? And I think for the major league players, one of the spots that seems to make the most sense for right now, that the outside world especially, because now this is a whole public thing, so it's how everyone's going to react to what you put out. The idea that the players would have the right to opt out of the season because of virus concerns and the potential deferral of salaries, but this, considering those who are considered high risk would receive their full salary should they opt out, whereas other players would not be paid but would still be credited for service time if they were uncomfortable. That feels important. It feels like you can give. There's plenty of middle ground in the number of games being played, because, right, we know Major League Baseball is 82. Right. These guys proposed 114-game season, so there's plenty of ground there.
32 games.
There's also the idea of the $100 million advance for the new spring training that I'm sure there's going to be some wiggle room on that, especially if you're talking about going back to the normal prorated salaries that had been agreed upon originally. So there seems like there's spots for give that make this doable, right?
Right, if they can work around the one thing. And let's be clear.
It is.
It's money.
You're right.
It's nothing else at this point. It is money. And how bad of a look is that if that's going to be the thing that potentially scuttles the 2020 season?
Because who has to give on that, right? Because players are saying prorated. That's a line. That's prorated. And the league, they can adjust theirs, the owners, right, with how much more you lose from the prorated. The league came out with, hey, you low-paid players, again, comparative to the sport, you're going to lose a lot less. You high-paid players, you're going to lose a little more. That has more wiggle room than the player side that's saying prorated. Once the player side goes off of just prorated by games we play, if they start going then by the percentages, that's when the league, I think, is going to say, okay, now we're negotiating, right? Because right now, that's a line in the sand for the players.
Well, but this seems like a spot where there is room off that. So now if you're the players and you say, we're not going to come off that, but then the owners can say, well, we're not going to play 114 games. That'd be way too many games for us to lose. We're not going to give you a $100 million advance. We're already going to be taking a bath on a lot of this, but maybe we can go back to that idea of, you know what, the prorated salaries that were promised, meet us halfway with 82 games as the season. We'll pay them at the price that we talked about and negotiated in March, but we just can't do 114 right now. Maybe that's where the players can get back to the number they want on a per game basis.
So it could get back to what the deal was in March.
Yes. Right. I mean, at the end of the day, right, if the owners really want to cry poverty, and Rob Manfred went on CNN and said he believes that the baseball isn't played, there'll be $4 billion in losses. If I'm a player, I'm like, cool, show me. Show me. Show me how that's going to work. And you know what the owners are like? Well, we can't show you books.
Yeah, showing books has always been a tough thing.
It's always been the thing where suddenly you're crying, this is a horrible situation. Well, let's see the books. Well, we can't find the books at the moment.
Which version?
We're overdue at the library.
What had happened was.
Yeah.
So, be very interesting. Jeff Passan, our ESPN Major League Baseball insider, did talk about just in general why it's ridiculous that this is still going on.
If there is no postseason this year, then they are willing to defer $100 million in salary for players making $10 million or more in the season. Now, it seems like, we don't know if there's going to be a postseason or not. We don't know if there's going to be a second wave of coronavirus. The point is, owners have talked about having cash flow issues, and one way to alleviate cash flow issues is for players to defer money to the future. Now, they want these monies paid with interest, so it is deferrals with sort of a twist on it, but that being said, it opens the door potentially for more deferrals in an MLB proposal back to the Players Association. We've got a pandemic going on right now. We've got a crisis going on across the country where cities are burning, and are we really going to be the ones who can't come to a deal right now? It's just more for baseball to consider than it has already. And if it wants to be the first professional sport in America to come back, then this week is going to be absolutely seminal.
So I texted Jeff this morning and I said, just, what's your gut? Because basically everyone said it's got to be early June. Well, it's June 1st.
Yes, it is. It's early June.
This would seem like it's the week. Yeah. I said, are you optimistic? He said, I feel good, but not great. It's very interesting to see how the owners react to this latest offering, for lack of a better
Will the players ever go off prorated salaries?
Prognosis doubtful.
Yeah, I would think so as well. Then I think basically outside of some of the ancillary things, it's going to go back to what the deal was in March.
Yeah.
82 games, play at prorated salaries, right?
Yep, and I think everyone wants to look like they get a win, and I think that this proposal is set up for the owners to be able to come back and try and shave some things off to look like they didn't get completely dummied.
Just get it done. I mean, just get it done.
Be nice.
At this point.
Just, it would be nice.
We all understand that you're all hung up on the money. Figure it the
out. And we
out.
All think it will. We all think they will.
I hope so.
It would be stunning.
But when I hear Jeff say there are some owners who are very adamant about just shut. Really?
I think that's a power play.
Really?
I think that's a power play.
I just don't think what, yeah. I can't figure out what power they would get out of that. I mean, good luck, trying to scuttle your sport again. Hey, you almost lost it the last time you did that. Coming up on Tuesday's edition of Golic and Wingo, a very important voice you need to hear from, the coach, Herm Edwards, will join us. Stay safe, everybody.